This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 496, recorded on Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. I'm Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined, as usual, by Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am awesome, Martin, but you got this line through the middle. I have on old glasses, and they have a lined bifocal, and so I'm constantly going above or below
the line. So are you going old school? I mean, is this an on-purpose thing? Hipster, whatever?
Well, of course I'm like a hipster, don't you know? But it's old school because I broke my good glasses with the no-line trifocal, so back to the old stuff.
Is that a casualty of your trip to Mississippi?
Yeah, there was a bit of wrestling with moving items and things like that. So,
but mom's taken care of, and everything's good down there.
Yep, she's happy. She actually liked our last show because it was pretty much dedicated to Wells Tech moms, and she felt very special.
So. She was an inspiration.
That's right. Yes. Oh, I don't have to tell her. She's watching. Hi, Mom.
All right. Hey, Mom. We are actually wrapping up a series today, and that's a series we've been running for many months, once on social media ministry and social media. And we've kind of hit all of the major highways of that discussion. We've talked about Instagram and Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and kind of the ins and outs of each of those tools and how they relate to ministry. So I think today, just as kind of a wrap-up, we'll hit the highlights again, some great examples of organizations using each of those, and talk with, a little bit later, Pastor Jim Aderman, who kind of took this concept of social media and tried to apply it to this show, the purpose of this show, finding intersections between ministry and technology, and he used Facebook to do that. So we'll play that interview in just a few minutes. But without further ado, maybe we should jump in and talk about some of the superstars, so to speak, of the social media landscape that we'll do maybe a quick review and talk about some of the highlights in some of these very important tools, probably in the ministry plans of some congregations and schools. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think we should take it in order. I put together another infographic with these superstars on it. And the first social media site that we looked at in the series was Instagram. And we found Holy Trinity in Okochee, Wisconsin. I never heard of Okochee, Wisconsin, but... Mm-hmm. They have quite the Instagram page, regularly updated, and lots of people and color and happiness that's happening in their church and school featured here on their Instagram page. So this looks like a place I'd like to visit and perhaps be a member of, with all the real stuff that's happening on their Instagram page. Looks like a fun place.
They have a mixture of collages, tight shots, which we've recommended in some of our photography-focused shows, is don't always show the class of 30, so far in the distance that you can't, see anybody, but get close, get the expressions, and they've done a nice job with that. It's a really nice mixture of photos, and gives you, and then that's a really part of the point, right, is to give you an idea of what the environment is like. What is it like to be a part of this particular organization? They did a nice job here.
Right, and I do notice that some of the things posted aren't just images, but also video. You can do that on Instagram, so you can get an idea of what the kids are doing in the classroom, dancing around, or whatever it may be, and so they're taking advantage of all the capabilities of Instagram in the process.
Including hashtags, including emoji. Mm-hmm. So they've taken some care in some of these posts. Somebody who has some experience, I think, with social networks, was at least in charge of the part in the part of posting these images. And yep. They're fairly consistent, too, which is another thing we've recommended over the years, is if you're going to do it, don't start and stop. Just kind of stick with it and have a plan to keep stuff going so people stay interested, stay following, and look forward to what you're going to post next.
So definitely hats off to Holy Trinity, an ELS congregation in Okochee, Wisconsin. Yeah,
I want to say that's out. We probably have the technology to look up exactly where that is, but I want to say it's out by Oconomowoc someplace. But
okay.
I could be wrong, so.
All right. Next up in our series was Pinterest. And today we are featuring a superstar, and I just clicked away from it. My bad. A superstar school, St. Paul's First Lutheran School out in North Hollywood, California. And one thing we really liked about their Pinterest page, Martin, was all of the different boards that they had that really spoke to grade school level parents and, things that people would be interested in from their school. They have fundraisers. They have curriculum type things, so things going on in first grade or places that they visit, like Los Angeles Museum. They have a board dedicated to Wells, to California Lutheran High School. So if you want to learn more about secondary education, they have a board for each of the grade levels, it seems, STEM board. So again, kind of curriculum focused, and even one on summer fun. So as they're dismissing kids, they might point parents to their summer fun Pinterest board. Just a lot going on their Pinterest page.
And it makes sense to talk about Pinterest after Instagram, because the concept is fairly similar, because Pinterest is very visual, and the ability to kind of collage and collect these images actually gives it a little bit more organizational structure than even Instagram does. So they've taken advantage of that, and they have a nice wide variety. So I think somebody coming to this page interested in what St. Paul's is all about wouldn't have a hard time kind of clicking through a few of their boards and figuring out that there's some good stuff going on here.
Definitely. Just really well done in terms of the boards they selected. I think that, you know, once you set up boards, obviously you want to maintain them and see them grow, continue to add things to your boards, but definitely putting the time into mapping out what the topics are on their boards is really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Moving right along, we were interested in a superstar in the Twitter realm, and we came up with Victory of the Lamb in Franklin, Wisconsin, a congregation that makes big use of Twitter and regularly updates, and not just updates with text, but they include a lot of imagery, kind of a theme, it seems, Martin.
Right, yep. Again, taking candid shots as well as posed shots and links to find out more information about what they're doing too.
Mm-hmm. So regular updates, there's information about special worship services, just links to their newsletters and things that they're publishing. So if someone in the congregation is more of a Twitter person, they can still get the news from the congregation via Twitter instead of having to look at their email or other feeds, look on the website or whatever.
Looks so. Like at least once a week, if not more. Kind of it depends on the week, I'm assuming. But they have some, looks like they have some artwork that they create to promote maybe topical sermon series or other events there. And looks like many of the things that they do there, they capture in images and post that here.
Yep. Very well done. Mm-hmm. Very well done. All right. Time to move on to YouTube, one of our favorite communication channels, because it adds the element of video. And one school in particular stood out to us because I think they have over 300 videos on their YouTube channel now. It's Lakeside Lutheran High School. And we've featured them many times on some of the great stuff that they've done using video. Most recently, I think we shared a video with first and second graders around the Easter theme. But they've got video out here where the school has participated in lip dubs. They've got school events and senior videos. They've got videos regarding their drama events, sports events, all kinds of video, talent shows, just lots and lots of stuff on their channel. And impressively, they have over 400 subscribers to their channel, which is, it takes time to build up a subscriber base to your channel. So you can tell that they've invested here in the channel and that they have a lot of great content that people are interested in.
Yeah, I would think a video ministry at an area Lutheran high school or even an elementary school is a feasible thing, especially if you kind of wrap that into a club or part of your curriculum, just to kind of keep that going, and great skills that they're teaching the kids along the way. So they've done an excellent job. We've had a number of area Lutheran high schools that have done that. So I think there's a lot of good examples out there of some of those schools doing exactly that.
Definitely.
And a lot of views. Now, some of these have gone a little bit more viral than others, but many of them have, 600, 1,000 views, depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think I've got things a little out of order, but I think next up in line was Facebook. The king, it seems, of social media. It seems that everybody is on Facebook. And one congregation we found on Facebook that has a really impressive page is Gethsemane Lutheran from Raleigh, North Carolina. And one of the things I like about their Facebook page is this guy right here, their pastor, who's willing to make videos and share on Facebook. So his little short, devotional type videos and things like that intermixed with their page. Again, they're kind of sharing similar content to things being shared on Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram, but it's here in the Facebook realm, and a lot of people see it because they like their page and it's part of their feed and things like that. So they've got news and announcements, videos from the pastor, like I said, and just general imagery and things from the congregation.
They announced some new members joining, an all-purpose, whatever's fit to share. They try and keep things flowing through there, and very consistent, as we've talked about in the past, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that brings us almost to the end, and you know what? This last one I don't have open. Shame on me.
Smug Mug.
Yeah, I'm going to open up the MLC Smug Mug Gallery. Now, we talked about photos and using things like Flickr and Google Photos, and at the same time, we mentioned Smug Mug as an option as well, and I think MLC just really stands out with all of the history of images. I don't know how far back, 2007, 2008 images, all the way through today. And then as you go into each of their image directories, they have subdirectories, very good organization. Of course, there's a lot of events on campus that happen every year, things like freshman welcome and homecoming and talent shows and plays and things like that, music events, of course. And so they file things very consistently year to year, and it's an archive, an online archive of the events on campus and all the people that participated. So very quickly, these young ladies and gentlemen who are just freshmen in these pictures will be looking back and remembering fondly their MLC years, and it'll all be archived here on Smug Mug Forum.
And a great recruiting tool. So it gives a person an idea very quickly, in different areas of interest too. So if you're interested in music or athletics or drama, those kinds of things are categorized, so it's easy for anybody to find. And I don't know that we talked too much about Smug Mug when we went through kind of our social networks, but it fits right in there with some of the other photo sharing sites. And it's easy to create a very visually stunning set of galleries like they've done here. So
mm-hmm. Very nice. So kudos to MLC for that. They have a great Facebook page as well. They just went through MLC Day last week and shared a whole bunch on their Facebook page. So they got a lot of great social media going on over there at Martin Luther College. Good stuff.
Very good. So check out the show notes. You can look at the infographic that Sally put together that has links to all the things that the superstars that we just mentioned, and probably links back to the shows that we talked about these as well. So hopefully this will be a good resource to folks as we go forward. We're not quite done talking about social media for ministry. We did, as I mentioned at the top of the show, have a chance to sit down with Pastor James Aderman from the Milwaukee area. He happened to be an attendee at our first Wells Tech conference a couple summers ago, and made some connections and began to kind of take it a little bit further than just kind of the confines of the conference that we had, and wanted to kind of carry on this conversation about intersections. Where can we find intersections specifically between social media, but also all kinds of online opportunities that the Lord has given us and ministry. So why don't we take a listen to that now, Sally, with Pastor James Aderman. We are very pleased and happy to have joining us today Pastor Jim Aderman. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Want to introduce yourself to the folks watching and listening at home?
Sure. I am retired, a little more than 2 years, although, like a lot of baby boomers, retirement for me is not playing golf or watching the soaps. But I want to be able to go to bed every night knowing that I did something important, especially as a Christian, that somehow or another people have benefited eternally by what I've done. So I'm an administrator for a group that works with Christians in Southeast Asia, helping them to do a better job in their congregations. And more recently, as of the first of the year, I'm actually back in a parish as an interim pastor at Siloa Lutheran, waiting for that next full-time pastor to come.
I didn't know that. Okay. When you were in full-time ministry, where did you serve? What kind of things were you involved with?
Sure. I've spent most of my ministry, except for the first 5 years, doing ministry in Milwaukee, and the last 27 of those years was at Fairview Lutheran, about 66th and Blue Mound in Milwaukee.
Very good. We met you, and you kind of skipped over this a little, but one important thing in your history or your bio was personifying Screwtape, it seems, at the Wells Tech Conference. I don't know if I would ever be able to live that down if I had done the presentation you did then. It definitely stuck with me anyway. Really excellent presentation that you did. That was part of our Ignite event where different people that were attending the conference shared information, and yours was focused on PowerPoint presentations. Really, really well done. So didn't want to skip that in your bio.
Thank you. That was fun to do.
I
had done that kind of a presentation, and a little nervous about doing it, especially as I got my costume on, horns and all. But it was fun to do. And
very
actually,
well received.
Information I came out of I just last August finished up a second master's degree at the seminary and in practical ministry. And the bulk of what I did there had to do with more techie kinds of uses of doing ministry. And part of that was PowerPoint presentations. So
awesome.
It fit in with my presentation at the Wells Tech.
At the Wells Tech Conference, that was back in 2015, in July of 2015, and ties right into our techie discussion today, because you kind of use the Wells Tech Conference as a springboard for a Facebook group that you are administering. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about Wells Intersections, like how that came to be.
Sure, and it did come out of the Wells Tech Conference. I was very excited about meeting the people that I met there and the ideas and encouragement that I encountered. And I thought, wouldn't this be cool if we could find a way, at least on a local level here in southeastern Wisconsin, if we could find a way to get other techie Wells Christians together and share what we've learned along the way and encourage one another, keep one another thinking clearly about the pluses and minuses of using tech for kingdom purposes. So I got together with a couple of folks and shared the idea with them. And the folks that I talked to thought it was a good idea. Let's move ahead. So in the fall of 2015, we got folks together. We thought, first of all, that this was going to be more of a face-to-face group, and the Facebook dimension would be more on the side. But as it has worked out so far, we met several times. We're going to meet quarterly face-to-face, and we did that about three times. And it just seemed that for the amount of time that we had available to put that together, it wasn't working like we thought that it would at the beginning. So most of what we do right now is on Facebook, sharing information that we come across about how to use tech for kingdom purposes. And boy, Sally, I think I just ran out of your question. Help me out.
Well, I've got Wells Intersection up on my screen, so those that are watching the video, you have about 138 members, and I know that you're very active in their conversations around the many things that you share there. So what kind of feedback have you gotten from the Facebook experience?
The feedback that we've gotten has included, you know, you press the little like button, and there are a number of those, and of course that's an easy way to say, yeah, this is good, I like this. I've especially appreciated the folks that have posted, so it's not just me posting. Just the other day I got about a three-page article from someone in response to something, to an article that I had posted. Actually, you know, I borrowed it and put it up on the site. So I linked to the Facebook page. And this fellow wrote me a three-page article, and that should find its way onto the Facebook site as well. I'm hoping that as we go along, that we're going to generate more folks that are willing to post to Facebook on our site and become more involved. As I think about the site, there are more things that I know that I could be doing to generate that community on the site. But the big thing that has dogged me throughout my ministry is there are just only 24 hours in a day. And even when you're retired, there's just 24 hours in a day. And so when I find the time or bump it up higher on my priority list, or God willing, maybe after this podcast, there's going to be hundreds of people out there that are saying, Pastor Aderman, I want to help with this. So it's going to go great guns. Thank you for the promotion.
Excellent.
Thank you. I think a month hardly goes by without us referencing something that we found on the site, and a lot of that content comes from you. Good stuff. And most of it is related to using social ministry or social media and digital tools for ministry. How do you find content? I mean, you found some great stuff that I just don't come across and I keep my eyes open as I'm, you know, looking at Twitter and other Facebook groups and whatever. Where do you find this stuff? How do you continue to produce or at least share this good content?
I get lots of emails from groups that have the same interest.
Oh, really? Okay.
Every day there are probably a couple hundred emails that I sift through, and I whatever interests me and I think would interest other people, I usually post it to Facebook. Wonderful addition to our to be able to do that is the Buffer people, so that in fact just today before we began here, I was on Buffer posting some things so that in the future, you know, it just populates itself for me, and I don't have to post every day. But yes, it's a matter of signing up and getting emails from other organizations, seeing what they have to say, and if I find some value, then I post it to Facebook.
Excellent. Well, we've been doing kind of throughout this whole podcasting season, a series focusing on different social media channels. So obviously you're using Facebook for your group communication, but we've been focusing on using Facebook and, you know, Twitter and Instagram and all those different popular social media channels and where they fit in a church's communication strategy and planning. I'm wondering if you have a feel for where you see social networks fitting into a congregation's ministry plans.
Well, when it comes to the different social media that are out there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is the one that is the biggest. It seems to me that if a church is going to be represented on any of those, Facebook is the place to start. It's something like 70-75% of all people that are online are on Facebook. Now, it doesn't mean that they check it regularly, but they've got an account. We can read things about, the young people aren't doing Facebook anymore. They're more on Snapchat and other media, but they're still on Facebook. So if you want to reach a bunch of people, Facebook on social media, Facebook is the place to be. I also have accounts on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram I post to every day, except Sundays. Mm-hmm. I do have a Pinterest account. I don't do much of anything, though, on Pinterest. For me, it's just trying to stay up on, so what's happening out there in social media and how do I manipulate, you know, I'm an old guy, I'm 68, so how do I manipulate these different forms of social media to make them work the best? I'd really like to stay up to date on that. And once again, Sally, I think I've just completely lost your question.
Well, I think congregations are certainly a way to use social media for congregations. Obviously, it's probably not at the top of their list as they're reaching out to new, but maybe more of a internal kind of communication tool. I don't know. They can have a lot of different uses, but certainly Facebook is very popular. I'd agree with you that it's at the top of the list if you're having to pick which one.
I'd suggest, though, that for congregations to get into social media, regardless of what it is, that's not the place to start. Congregations need to start with a good, solid website, and not just a website that is well designed, but the steps before that are to figure out who are you as a congregation, because I mean that's your brand. So how do you talk about your brand online? Who's your audience? The kind of folks in your community that you're particularly looking to reach out to, and the way you design your website, of course, is going to have everything to do about that. And then as people come to your website, what's their journey as they come as strangers, and then they learn more and more about you and eventually become part of the life and ministry of your congregation. But in that process, then, a Facebook account or other social media, depending on who your audience is going to have a role. But the place to start has to be with your website. If you don't have a good website, don't do anything with social media. Work on the website first.
Okay. Put it in the proper order.
Yep.
Very good.
Jim, you mentioned a tool that actually I'm not super familiar with, Buffer. Before, can you describe for folks what that is and maybe why that might be useful?
Sure. Buffer is a site that allows you to post information to your social media. So you post it there, it kind of saves it until you tell it to upload it, in this case to Facebook, and then it will post however you tell it to post, at a certain time on a certain day. You can set that schedule up. If you're just posting, I haven't looked at that for a bit, but I think it was like if just 5 or 10 of these, then it's free. Otherwise, it costs you a little bit more. But it's not very expensive, and it's really handy. So, like I said, as I was waiting for our meeting, there were some things that I was posting to my Twitter account and to a couple of Facebook accounts. And now they're out there, and I'm probably a month or more down the road that I'm posting that these things will come up. But they're there for me, and I don't have to worry about them anymore.
So you schedule these that far in advance, so you're finding content, plugging it into Buffer, and then it takes care of the rest. It sounds like the use case for one of the major use cases for Buffer is that they're trying to find, you know, the best times to post, and they help you with that, then the scheduling across all your social media sites. You're not having to jump into each one and do the same thing.
Yeah, it will allow you to post to the minute on any given day, or every Tuesday, or every day at 2:35, or, you know, whatever it seems best to you. And they'll help you with that, figure that out too.
Interesting. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Win, win, win in the social media scheme. So good stuff.
So we probably should end with a little bit of an encouragement for people to join the Facebook group. If you just search on Wells Intersections on Facebook, it should come up, and it's easy to join and participate. And I think take some time and scroll through the existing content. It seems like there's all kinds of different flavors of content, different kinds of approaches. And I think the thing I get most out of Wells Intersection, Jim, is just kind of the almost the high level how to think about social media. And a lot of it's common sense, absolutely, but just to have a strategy going in is really important.
Yes, I think for me, looking at the sites that come to my computer and my email and then picking some to post, it's also a matter of my rethinking a little bit. Even though I think, you know, I got this, it helps me to fine-tune it.
Just like any other ministry, you really need to actually be smart about it, and don't just be there because, well, you think you should be, but there needs to be purpose and objective. Measure your results, as best you can, and try and be a good steward of the resources God has provided for you.
Absolutely. So,
Jim, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time and the initiative to start this thing up. I pray for, you know, the ministry, and hopefully more people will get involved, and we can be a blessing to each other in that way.
Yeah, thanks for giving us some play today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All
thank
right.
you. I want to thank Pastor Aderman for taking some time out of his actually very busy retirement schedule, because he seems to have found many things to keep him busy, many ministry-related things as well, and this was just one of them. And the stuff that finds its way to the Intersections Facebook page that he runs has made its way onto our show on many occasions, because there's great content there, and I think some of the tips that he shared, very valuable information for anybody thinking about a social media ministry or just a digital ministry, and the importance of, you know, having a credible and useful website, and, you know, on down the line. So thank you, Jim, for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of, you know, reminds me of, I think it was in one of Malcolm Gladwell books, where he referenced 10,000 hours, and, you know, people become experts by doing. And I love it that Pastor Aderman wasn't afraid to try it, try it on Facebook, see how it went. He mentioned in the interview that he tried face-to-face meetups, and, you know, you got to try stuff, and your style will develop over time. And he's definitely become more of an expert in terms of sharing on social media and identifying appropriate things to share. So great work there.
Yeah, so if you haven't taken the time to join that group, it'd be a great thing to do, right away, because I think there's it's kind of a nice, steady, it's not overwhelming, but a nice, steady stream of ideas and conversations about ministry and technology. So please head on over there and check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. Sally, we've been doing a segment here as we're counting down episode 500, just kind of a retrospective of all the years we've gone through the cycle of 52 or so shows, and we're up to year 6, which would have been 2013, 4 years ago now, episodes 269 to 322. One of the fun things we've done is kind of look at the best of, mostly our picks, but even interviews and some of the other events that happened during the year. Why don't you share a couple of the things that were highlights for you in 2013?
Well, for my top picks, I was excited to see a couple of my favorites, and interesting that they kind of surfaced in 2013 because it seems like just yesterday. But Doodle is a site that I regularly use. Actually, I think I got a Doodle invite today to sign up and see what time I could go to a meeting. It's often hard to pull together a group of people. I can imagine it being a real challenge in church and school settings as well, when you need a key group of people to attend a meeting. Doodle allows you to propose different times and send out an invite to people, and they can tell you when they're available for meetings. So as the demo on the screen shows, they propose like five or six different times, and it looks like only one of those times everyone could actually attend. So without going back and forth a whole lot, you just invite people and see what works for folks. And it's a great tool for that purpose. I highly recommend it, and it's free. So quick to set up and easy to administer and free. Can't beat that.
I use it all the time myself. Mm-hmm. One piece of hardware that I picked back in 2013, and I think I've picked it a few more times since then, is really a great tool that I take with me whenever I do presentations, and that's this Bluetooth speaker from JBL. It's the JBL Charge. Kind of small enough to fit in the bag, but loud enough that you can fill kind of an average size classroom. Which is really great. So I can connect it to my computer or my iPad or whatever to play videos, and the sound on this can permeate the room. It's not all that expensive. You can find actually used ones online now that are very inexpensive, very durable. The newer ones are waterproof. Not that that's a super concern for me, but if that's something that you need to be careful of, it has that. And then it also doubles as a way to charge a smart device. So it has a USB plug on the end. So it has a battery that will charge, I think, most smartphones these days, but it'll last, if you're just using it as a speaker, I think 9 hours. So you've got plenty of power here, and it's in a nice compact package. So that's the JBL Charge. So I get to plug it one more time. Still something that I use. It's got some staying power in my bag, so that says something.
Awesome. When you held it up up and down, I thought you were going to say it doubles as an insulated mug because it looks like just the right size.
It's the same size cylinder, yes. Yeah,
no, wouldn't want to do idea, that. So. I also mentioned that your Holy Hen House. We just recently had a gal on from Holy Hen House to interview, and this was when they were coming on the scene and doing some really exciting things, caught our attention in 2013, and they're still going strong over at holyhenhouse.com, doing great stuff for women's ministry.
We did some interviews with them last year, I want to say.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Good stuff.
Nice. One thing that I remember fondly is going up to MLC there to New Ulm and having an unconference. We called it Wells Tech Camp, but it was basically an unconference kind of conference where we don't have any preset topics. We just get some tech-minded individuals, and we get together at the beginning of the day and come up with topics, and it's self-led. And that was kind of a new experience for us, but I think a well worth the effort that it took to put it together and get people there. I think everybody had a good time.
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot in the process. We kind of made up the agenda on the fly, and we had people assigned to moderate each room, and we actually live streamed each room and had video archive of it. So it was kind of our first experience at dipping their toe in our water and trying out a conference, and I thought it was a really fun day. Some people won some great prizes that day too. So
we had some vendors there. That was nice too. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that was year six. We have a few more years to go till we hit a year in review that we can do until we hit episode 500. So tune in next week and we'll do year seven, 2014, getting closer and closer. Sally, we have some news in tech. We mentioned either last week or the week before, I think it was last week, about the new operating system that Microsoft introduced, Windows 10S, and the new hardware that they introduced. And it's kind of a, I'd almost call it a Chromebook competitor. Mm-hmm. And Windows 10S is kind of a Chrome OS competitor. Kind of a slimmed down version, kind of a safe alternative for especially students. I think their target market is the educational space. And so we dug up a little bit more information on what 10S is. It kind of limits the user to a predefined set of apps in the Windows App Store. It's a lighter weight operating system, loads up quickly. Low maintenance, the things that I think Chromebook users and Chrome app institutions have come to love about that whole infrastructure. So Windows or Microsoft wants to make sure they're not left out in the cold, and they've come up with a solution and announced that a lot of the same vendors who have been building Chromebooks will also be building these Windows 10S capable machines, you know, in that $200 to $300 range, hoping to entice some schools to go that route. I would say that one thing they have going for them is that the Office suite, which would come installed on this, is better in probably most ways than what you get with Google. I think there are a lot of concessions you make with Google Docs, and I think going with the Office suite, which has been around for a long, long time, you know, does have some advantages, but you got to weigh that for yourself. But it'd be interesting to see how this rolls out.
Yeah, definitely. A little competition is always a positive thing.
It is.
It'll probably be a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. I think maybe the company left out of all this is probably Apple, where mm-hmm. their hardware is still priced pretty high above most of the solutions that Google and Microsoft now can offer. So it'll be interesting to see if they want to get back into that market and see if they can do something with their management tools, which Windows 10S now rolled out with to match Google's very good management tools as well. So we'll see.
Okay, stay tuned. More news in tech, just a quick mention, and I'm guessing everybody that's listening is aware that there was a major phishing scam that went on last week with Gmail. So a whole bunch of emails were unleashed at the same time. I want to say it was perhaps last Wednesday afternoon. I remember checking my email, and I got two or three of them from different folks, and all of a sudden I was getting all kinds of emails that were saying, beware, this is happening. So one thing I really liked about this event was how quickly people responded and how much communication went on. I saw messages from MLC going out to everyone that has MLC accounts, messages obviously from Senate Technology going out to all of us with Senate accounts. So I think people's guard is up and they're tuned into the right channels to know when these things are happening. So that was pretty impressive. All the same, some people clicked on the links and gave away their Google credentials and authorized a viral type app on their Google account. So there's plenty of articles out there. We'll have a link in the show notes to what to do if you did click the link accidentally. And, you know, maybe it's a wake-up call to kick into that two-step authentication and different things like that. So one article that I read that was really interesting was about the state of Minnesota. They actually went through the process of estimating how much money it cost them because of this scam that was out there. About 2,500 state employees received the email, and some of them clicked on it. So the time that it took to help those people, their help desk personnel supporting those people who clicked on the link or who had questions about the link or all of that, totaled up to $90,000 for the state of Minnesota.
Ouch. Yeah.
Isn't that sad that, you know, this disruptive type stuff can turn into those kind of dollars?
Yeah. Just to be clear, it wasn't necessarily an email thing. It was a Google Docs violation that came through email, because I actually got one in my Senate email too. So it was a sharing scam for Google Docs, but then they leveraged getting into your Gmail account through that route where you're authorizing. And you made a great point, Sally. Two-factor authentication, even if you did click on the link, would protect you from them being able to get into your email, for instance. So, and that's so easy to set up, and I have it set up for Google, especially because I do use Gmail for personal use. So anytime you get confidential information or password reset information or whatever, there's a lot of stuff in your email that you really don't want walking out the door. So turn on two-factor authentication. We've talked about it in the past. There are good tutorials on how to do it. And there's no excuse not to do it if you are, and it's available for almost all kind of mail systems as well. So get her done. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
All right. I have a pick of the week that came to me and a prompt on Facebook on my pages. And basically, Facebook is working to help you take better pictures and promote yourself in more eye-catching ways on the pages that you run for various businesses. So they have a post out recently called 8 Tips for Taking Great Photos. And they have examples built into it. So really quick and easy read with photo examples right there to support it. So some of their tips, think mobile first. And look at your photos on a smartphone and ensure it's clear and legible and things like that on those tiny screens. Keep it simple, again, kind of focusing in on your content rather than trying to put too much in the image. They mentioned the rule of thirds, so you're not centering exactly whatever your main content is, but rather putting it closer to an edge or along the top or bottom. Varied perspectives. Using interesting layouts, adding focal points and varied textures, so perhaps it's focused on one area and the rest of the area blurs out, the rest of the photo blurs out. And then a couple of more, light and shadow create a nice contrast, and using attractive color combinations, colors from the opposite side of the color wheel. So just some real good simple ideas and really supported with these images that make it really clear as to what kind of things you'd be looking for. So check out the link to Creative Tips from Facebook.
Very nice. All right, my pick, just going to screen sharing mode here, is something that we talked about last week when we talked about friends and family tech support, and that's a product called Join.me. It's a screen sharing app, and I picked it as a pick this week, even though we mentioned it last week, because I had a couple of occasions to use it this week in a couple of different contexts. We had to use it when one of our Skype for Business screen sharing sessions wasn't working for us here at the Senate office. But maybe even more impressive was a time I had to use it to support our preschool teacher at our grade school, who is not I'd say she's getting better, but she's not super tech savvy. So rather than try and assist her with, what's on your screen, what does it say to do now, what's at the bottom of the screen, did this thing pop up, what did it say, having her try and tell me everything that was happening on her screen, I thought I would try to get her in a Join.me session. And I've tried this in the past with different people who maybe have the same technical skill set, and it hasn't gone really well. But Join.me was so simple that I thought, well, let me just give it a try. So I just said to her, go to Join.me, and I gave her the exact URL to go to. Sometimes it's a number that they have to type in right there on the screen. Sometimes you can get a dedicated URL. We happen to have one here in the Senate office, so I use that. It will ask, or what I can do is give her presenter rights. And what that does is it pops up a little message on her screen to download a quick piece of software. And that's where it's been a challenge in the past. But Join.me has made it very simple to download. It's a very short download. You download it, you install it, and then you're good to go. And it's then you are immediately screen sharing. So there's not a lot of steps to take. It's very reliable. You can have you can put a lot of more bells and whistles on it. You can have internet calling and those kinds of things. You can share files, etc. But there's really no substitute for just sharing the screen. And it's something that I think I'm going to probably use more of if I have to do any more of these kinds of support calls, because it just if she could do it, that's probably one of the greatest tests, you know, that we have is, you know, how difficult is it to get somebody else's screen on your screen so you can help them. And it took all of about 5 minutes to go to get everything done for me to look at her screen and then diagnose what the problem is and problem solved. It would have taken a lot longer, and we talked about this a little bit last week, to go beyond that. If you do a lot of tech support, you may want to consider getting an account. This is from the Log Me In people, and they have a very easy to understand pricing model. There is a free model where you can get up to 10 meeting participants, 5 video feeds, do screen sharing, of course. There is internet calling. So if the people that you want to be involved in your screen sharing session are comfortable using VoIP, a lot more people are getting comfortable with that. You can do that, file transfer, those kinds of things. There's a lot you can do for free, but if you want maybe a dedicated URL, if you do a lot of support, maybe more than 10 participants, a lot of customizations that you can do, meeting invites, locking meetings, toll-free numbers you can add to this. You can have cloud storage, window sharing versus entire screen sharing, which is sometimes handy. That cost is, where is the cost here?
Hidden away.
Yeah, I think it's like $100 bucks a year. It's fairly inexpensive, especially if you use it on any regular basis. So if you're in the tech support business, it's maybe something that you'd be interested in. And then there's, of course, a business plan, which ups those numbers by quite a bit. So something to look into, or at least give it a try. If you are in that, here's the price, $18 a month. So they're having a special now for pro features, $25 a month for business. So I'm very impressed with it. Sally, you and I have used it a few times, and extremely reliable. It's not hard to use at all, is it?
Yeah, I am smiling because I think the hardest time I've had getting people into Join.me is I'll say, just go to Join.me, and they're like really confused by that because they're not used to the last.
Not a .com or
exactly. .com. They're like, so .net? And I'm like, no, .me. And so if you can get past that hurdle, you can do join.me because it's really simple.
Yeah. And I think you've used this with tech support for your family, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's quick and easy.
Yep. And there are apps as well. So there's some mobile options too. Mm-hmm. You can do it from your iPad, etc. So that will close out our picks of the week section. Next is our weekly ministry resource segment, and I'm really happy to announce that we have recently launched a updated version of our locator app. We called it Wells Locator. Let's see if I can find the right screen here. And what we've done is included it with the Wells yearbook. So we've had this digital yearbook for a while, and we felt that it made sense just to kind of wrap the Wells locator in with it, since you're really using the yearbook to search in some cases for people, of course, but also for organizations. And so we felt, well, why do we need two apps to kind of facilitate the same need? So we just kind of enveloped the locator functionality into the organizations tab on yearbook.wells.net. And we launched that yesterday, Monday, and added the ability to find your current location. So you just check a box whether you're on a mobile device, it's a mobile-friendly app. So whether you're on a mobile device or you're on a computer, you can check a box and that will grab your current location. And then we've added the ability to filter your results by proximity. So you can say only show me results within 10 miles of my location or the location that I specify. Or you can filter it by the organization type. So only show me churches or schools or early childhood centers or Lutheran high schools, counseling centers, care facilities. And then you can further filter on worship options. So show me the churches that have signed services or have a hearing loop system installed or personal sound equipment available. Or show me those churches that have a worship broadcast, a live stream service. Or you can even do it by language. So I'd like to find all of the Spanish services in my geographic area. So that was launched, and we've got, I think, pretty much all of the data we need to map every organization. There are a few that we still need to wrap in here, but I think your results will be a good experience that you can search by the center of a city, by a zip code, by your own address, or by somebody else's address. Just a great way to find a worship location when you're on vacation, or if you have a friend or family member moving into another location, find the local church for them, you know, share that with them, or let the local pastor know that, hey, you've got somebody moving into your area, you may want to give them a call or drop them a note, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of, I think, ministry uses for this particular application, and I'm excited about getting this online. It took us a little while to kind of figure out the best way to do this, but hopefully it'll be a blessing to those people who decide to use it.
That's awesome, Martin. Special shout out to the Wells developer behind that. Took a lot of brain power, and that would be Mr. Martin Spriggs. So that happy was, to hear you announcing that.
It was a labor of love. I liked doing it. Learned a lot in the process. So I didn't know much about geocoding and Google Maps and those kinds of things. And of course, I didn't mention you can get directions. So you go to the locator, you find the destination, and you click a button, and lo and behold, Google Maps will pop up with directions for you. So kind of fun.
Awesome. Very nice.
Let's move on. We have a featured video of the week.
We do, and this is a fun one I think folks will enjoy. This is also from our friends over at Martin Luther College. We've talked about them a lot today, and their MLC Day tradition includes a campus-wide lip dub. So they did a lip dub last Wednesday, published it late Wednesday night towards the end of the day, and I think you will really enjoy it. It's got all kinds of people involved from all areas of the campus, and just a fun rejoicing for our College of Ministry. So check out the MLC Day Lip Dub 2017.
Very nice. Yep. Next week for show number 497, Sally, what are we doing?
We're zeroing in on 500, aren't we? Next week is our community feedback show, and that's one of my favorites, where we hear from the Wells Tech listeners and all the things that are happening in their ministry settings, personal and public ministry, church and school. We love to share real news of what's happening and what tools and techniques are working for you and how technology is assisting and spreading the good news. So tune in for community feedback.
And participate.
Definitely.
Notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Click on one of those links at the top there will get you to all of our social networks. Or just leave a comment on a previous show. That's maybe the easiest way to do it. Or if not, an email, wellstech@wells.net. So take advantage of that as well. So hope to see you next week. Thank you for joining us this week. Blessings on the week. Hope to see you next week with a friend, maybe, or two. So take care, everybody. Bye-bye.